Amen. Well, there's a whole lot of gospel in that song. How many knows because He lives, we shall live also. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, and as you're turning, just some announcements. First of all, Brother Brian needs to meet with all the youth campers. We're leaving tomorrow. That was one of the announcements. But he's got one more form he needs the parents to fill out. So right after service, after altar service, right in the middle room, just to fill out a form and get that taken care of. A lot of things coming up. One of those is our Freedom Service. Falls on July 4th this year. And as we do, we have two services, but we're having them back to back with just lunch in between. And in the morning, we are going to celebrate our spiritual freedoms. And then in the afternoon, we're going to, after lunch, we'll celebrate our national freedom. Invite friends. It's just a good time to be together as Christians and as Americans. Amen. Get a bulletin to keep abreast of those things. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter, I said 5, didn't I? I mean 5. I wrote down the wrong verse. Brother, did I give you the wrong verses, Brother Dearth? Okay, I'm very sorry. That should be Romans 5. Hey, just one chapter off. It's a whole lot, isn't it? Amen. I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord that we feel in the place. And I tell you what, I'm not trying to embarrass anyone, but Jerry here, he's just so sensitive to the moving of the Spirit. I can always tell when the Spirit's beginning to move. Amen. Because Jerry begins to respond. And we all should just be quick to respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we do have our Bibles. Electronics may fail. Well, I think he's got it up here. Thank you, Brother Mike. These men work so hard back there. Amen. Could you stand for the reading of the Word? You don't know how dangerous it is back there. Brother Tim, I'll have to apologize to you later for telling this. Every once in a while, I get a little blue. I just think about this and just get a good laugh at Brother Tim's expense. But if you notice back there, that's a full door that they've put horizontal and lifted up, and they latch it. And Brother Tim was sitting back there one night when I was preaching and, you know, just sitting there at the desk there, and that hook came out. And that door hit him right on the head. And I watched him. I mean, he went out like this. Amen. Isn't that bad to be lifted up by something like that? So you don't know how dangerous it is back there in the sound room. But they do a good job. Amen. Romans chapter 5, we're going to begin reading at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. If you haven't sinned, you can go ahead and dismiss yourself, because you're not in this number he's speaking about. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded. did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to look at verse 20. That's going to be our focus, and we'll be looking at these verses. But I'm going to ask you a question. First of all, how many find those verses a little difficult to understand as you've read them yourself or as we read them this morning? You find them difficult to understand. They are. And so many times we avoid difficult passages of Scripture and fail to realize that God put them in the Bible for our benefit as well. And so I have to pray during the week. God, I say, God, these are tough verses. But would you help me bring out from those verses what's in there that you have in there to help us? How many knows that Martin Luther got saved because of reading Romans? What about John Wesley? He got saved reading Romans. There's a long list. I believe John Bunyan as well. Romans did it for them. And the second thing, as we look at this verse, we so often, this last portion of verse 20 is very familiar, but we usually quote it disconnected from its context. And what we're going to do today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to put this verse in context. But look at the end of verse 20. We can rejoice over this, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I want to preach this morning on sin versus grace. Which one's going to win? Hallelujah. Good to see you, Brother Ned. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, make your word a living thing. God, we come in here from the week. We collect together with different needs and situations. We have different things we're going to face the coming week. God, you know every heart that's here. You're the mighty God. And I pray that you'd move by your Spirit through the preaching and you'd address every need and give people hope and strength. And Lord, just bring them into your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Sin versus grace. I saw a cartoon once, preacher standing at the back door and shaking hands, and his sister shaking his hand, and she is irate. And she said, Pastor, I didn't appreciate this morning you getting so personal when you preached. She said, there's some matters that are too personal to be preached on. And he's puzzled, and he said, Sister, what did I preach on this morning that was so personal? She said, you preached on sin. That's just too personal. I think that's a lot of the reason we're in the trouble we're in. Preachers found it too personal to preach on sin. Amen. Now, I'm fixing to give an illustration here, but I don't want you to be shocked, but when I kept thinking about this focus text this week, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound, I kept thinking of a professional wrestling match. Isn't that carnal? Now I got you. I need you to know some things. Number one, I don't watch professional wrestling, but as a teenager, I worked at a place, and on Saturdays, kind of as a treat, he was into it. My boss was. He'd turn on professional wrestling on Saturday, and so between customers, we'd see all that junk going on. So that's number one. And number two, I mean no disrespect to spiritual things by comparing it to something that's often as vile and truly as fake as professional wrestling. And I'm not meaning any disrespect, but every time this week when I got into this, Sister Rose, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, I kept thinking of a professional wrestling match. And Noah, would you mind to help me? Would you come up here? Now, you're going to be a big guy someday, but right now, you know, you're on the bottom side of the youth group. You probably get it a few times. I know how that is. But right now, you're still small, right? And I need a big guy. I need a big guy. Who am I going to get? Philip. Come on, Philip. Won't you help me? I saw something like this in a match. There was a little guy. I don't know how he got there. But this big old ugly brute beast of a guy. He climbed in the ring. And he got a hold of the little guy. And he got him in a lock hold. He got him down. He just beat him to smithereens. Go ahead. I mean, don't hurt him. But just get him. Get him good. No, keep the hold on him for my illustration. Thank you. Amen. I mean, he just let the little guy have it. I mean, he's got him all bound up. He's beating on the guy, just pulverized him. The referee's saying, stop, stop. He just keeps on. But all of a sudden, that's the bad guy right here. Amen. All of a sudden, Brother David, would you help me? This is your son in trouble. Another big guy that was a good guy. He climbed into the ring. He got a hold of the bad guy, broke the hold he had on the little guy, threw the big ugly guy out of the ring, picked up the little guy. Hallelujah. Thank you for indulging me there. That's a picture I got this week. Now, in that picture, guess who the little guy is? It's you and 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 me and you and you. We're the little guy. And sometimes sin comes across the ring into our life, gets a hold on us, begins to beat on us, defeat us, push us down, destroy us. We're in trouble with sin wrecking its havoc on our life. But then we begin to say, oh God, I need grace from the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And suddenly grace steps in. Sin is abounding. But when we call out to God, grace steps into the ring and breaks the hold of sin and takes hold of sin and casts it out of the perimeters of our life and sets us free and picks us up. And where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Sin has beat you up this week. Amen. But grace will set you free. Grace will conquer, defeat, and destroy the sin of our lives if we desire it to do so. I want to put this in context. First of all, now these are very theological and philosophical verses, and I'm going to avoid that. And I don't want to do it injustice, but I want us to be helped this morning with what's in these verses. First of all, what this says here is sin will always enter in if allowed. Sin will always enter in if allowed. Verse 12 says, wherefore by one man sin entered in. Sin will enter in if allowed. Verse 19 says, by one man's disobedience, many, many were made sinners. I don't want to bore you with the basics, but the truth of the matter is there was no sin in this world until Adam let it in. Adam and Eve, sin entered by one man, Adam. Adam chose to disobey God, and he sinned. Until Adam sinned, there had never been a sin in his heart. Until Adam sinned and disobeyed God, there had never been a sin in his mind. There had never been a sin in his body. There had never been a sin in the garden. There had never been a sin on planet Earth. But one man, Adam, let sin in, and ever since, amen, sin has been in this world, in the society, in hearts, and in mind. Sin always is trying to get in, but it can only do so if a human willingly turns the knob and opens the door and let it in. Sin hasn't changed, Brother Wilson. Sin's trying to get into every one of these young people, every one of these moms and dads. You don't get too old for it. Every one of us grandpas and grandpas, sin is trying to get in, and if allowed, it will come in. Adam let it in, and in it came. It came into his mind. It came into his heart. It came into his thoughts. It came into his spirit. It came into his body. It came into the garden. It came into the world. It even got in his genes, his genetics. Amen. It came in. He let it in. Amen. I know this is basic, but every one of us. Someone will say, are you kin to Brother Hurst? You say, oh no, I ain't kin to him. But if we trace things far back far enough, all of our genes go back to Adam and Eve. And when Adam sinned, sin got into the very genetics. And through the generations, the sin that was in his genetics was passed on. And therefore, it is in our genetics. 10 years since they mapped out the human genome. And they've made promise of many, many cures. There's been very few. And one cure they'll never find. If they ever locate the sin gene, I'm sure they'd like to find a cure for it. But when they locate the sin gene, there is no cure other than the cure from Christ. It's in our genes. Sin came into the world, and therefore we are born with a propensity to sin. We have a weakness for sin, a desire to sin. How many has to really try to sin? You have to say, now I'm going to force myself to sin. Amen. You don't have to do that. We have a vulnerability to sin. I know it's simplistically put, but we are not sinners because we sin, but we sin because we're sinners. I'm talking about the way we're born. I'm talking about humanity. Amen. Adam let sin in, and it's in us who are unredeemed. It's in the very basic nature of even the redeemed. How many have seen image after image of the oil spill? That oil wasn't in the Gulf. It was locked below the layers of the ground. But man dug down, and digging down, man made an error. They're trying to figure out who made the error before they plugged the hole. But I do know somebody made an error. And the oil that was below the sea, the oil that was below the barrier of the rock, that oil was allowed into the sea. It began to leak, thousands and hundreds of thousands of gallons of leaking. It's polluting. It's destroying. It's changing. It's growing. It's spreading. It's ugly. It's deadly. It's bothersome. And it's all coming from one entry place, one entry location, because of one man's error, or the mankind's error of whoever was over that. Amen. One man's error led to an opening up and letting that oil come into the Gulf and pollute it. I'm telling you, that's just a picture of what Adam did. Sin was on the other side of the barrier, but Adam opened the door and he allowed that sin, and ever since it's been pumping and pumping and pumping and polluting and destroying and deteriorating by one man's sin. Entered into the world, into his heart, it poured into his thoughts, it poured. I'm telling you, it's still that way. Wherever you allow it, sin will enter in. If you don't keep the guard on your mind, Sister Brock, sin will enter your mind. Sin will enter your heart. Sin will enter your spirit. I'm telling you, there are men who disobey God's commandments, and they've let sin into the halls of government. They've let sin into the administration of schools. They've let sin into the workings of economics. Some people will even disobey and allow sin into the church. It just works that way. Sin is always lurking at the door, waiting for the opportunity for someone to let it in. By one man, sin entered. Brother Mike, I got to thinking, Genesis here, of Cain. And here's what was said to Cain: if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Literally, sin, like a lion, is crouching at the door. And when you don't do right, when you open the door, sin's already waiting, and it lurches in. Nothing has changed. My one man sinner entered in, and it's still entering in. One thing I can't understand in life is why people that open a door can't learn to shut it. How many has an idea? I'm fixing to get on a rabbit trail here. I've watched up there at Vaughn Hall trying to hold the air conditioner in the summer, and the heater went. Someone will walk in that door, just fling it wide open, and just walk on in and leave it wide open. And you can see those dollar signs just go out the door. Amen, Brother Bill. How many knows your wife can understand your mumblings even when they're not loud enough? Why can't people, do people do that at their own house? Just leave the door wide open? Oh, it happens at your own house too. Brother Kroger got us a storm door. for that someone just leave the door open. I want to tell you the problem with that. When you let the flies in, they don't just bother you. They bother everybody else in the house. And when you let sin in, it won't just bother you. It'll bother and destroy people you love and that love you and everybody around you. And when Adam let sin in, it didn't just do something to him. It did something to the whole environment, the whole world. Amen. That about the door, that's just an illustration. If you feel condemned, you can answer the altar call lately, but I'm not preaching on that. Hallelujah. Shut the door! Sin's going to get in if you let it. He didn't care if it's a door of entertainment, the door of music, the door of relationships, the door of thoughts, the door of attitudes. Amen. Sin will come in if you let it. Oh, but I'm preaching where sin did abound. Grace did much more abound. Adam was the avenue through which sin entered this world. But Jesus was the avenue through which grace entered. Amen. The Bible said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. By one man, Adam, sin came into the world. But by the second Adam, by one man, Jesus, grace came into. And I want to tell you something. Adam let in a whole lot of sin through that door. But Jesus, when he came, he let in more grace through his door than Adam let through his. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. How many believe there's grace that is greater than all our sin. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Adam calls all men to become sinners. Paul says Jesus is a means by which all men become righteous. Verse 19, one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. So by the righteousness of one man, the free gift came upon all men and the justification of all. Oh, I like the words there. The free gift came. I like the sound of that. The free gift. Just say that with me. All of, the free gift. Oh, how many's grateful for the free gift. And he said it came. You didn't have to go looking for it, Brother Mark. It wasn't the luck of the draw. It wasn't like playing the lottery. Oh, but grace, the free gift, grace, it came. Sin came. I preached on that hard just a few minutes ago. Sin came in when people allowed it. But I'm telling you, there's something else trying to get into people's hearts. Something else that's come. It's called grace. And if they'd open up the door, grace would come in. Behold, I stand at the door. And if any man would rise and open the door, the free gift would come in. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, when the free gift comes, amen, it's the light that when the light enters, the darkness is pushed out. He's the authority that when he comes in, the criminal leaves. Amen. Jesus is the grace that when he enters, sin departs. Hallelujah. Oh, I like the old song, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus, grace, the free gift, came into my heart. Sin's gone. They've tried to get rid of that oil with dispersants. Had limited success. But what if they had come up with a dispersant that the moment they scattered it upon that oil, it immediately neutralized that oil and took the oil properties out of the ocean? Don't you think there'd be rejoicing across this world? I want to tell you of a dispersant. It's called the blood of Jesus, the free gift. You can have the pollutant of sin in your heart and mind and life and spirit and soul and ingrained within you. But I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus is a dispersant that neutralizes and rids the heart of sin. That's the context where sin abounded, coming through one man. Grace did much more abound, coming through another man. Amen. Secondly, this morning, sin brings death. Verse 12, and death, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. When Adam sinned, disobeyed, he let sin in, and when sin came in, it brought death with it. That's the trouble with sin. It never comes in well by itself. When sin comes in, it brings death. It brings heartache. It brings destruction. It brings deterioration. It brings disease. It brings all kinds of things with it. Death came with it. God had told Adam and Eve, if you sin, in that day you will surely die. People wondered about that because Adam and Eve lived years after they sinned. Was God wrong? No. Man's wrong. When God said you shall surely die, He wasn't just talking about physiological death. Amen. There is emotional death and spiritual death and mental death and soulish death. And when Adam and Eve sinned, I promise you, on that day, something died. Their spiritual nature died. Their communication with God died. Their sense of assurance died. Amen. It died on the day they sinned. And death set in, and they began to die emotionally and soulishly and mentally and physically. And ever since, man has been deteriorating. We try to push that back by medicine, but death we have in our very bodies. The day you sin, you're going to die. I want to tell you that death, amen, sin is a killer. Sin is a killer. Even I want to talk about that oil just briefly again. It's pumping into the Gulf. It's not just invasive. It's not just ugly. It's not just yucky. It's not just unpleasant. It's not just distasteful. It's not just messy. Amen. That oil is a killer. It's killing marine life. It's killing birds. It's killing marsh life. And I can talk about the ugliness of sin and the pollution, but I'm telling you, it's not just that it's ugly. It's not just that it messes up your life. It kills things. You can take a young person vibrant in God, so sensitive to the things of God and tender, and let them spend some time out in sin, and their sensitivity dies. Their innocence dies. Their youthfulness dies. There's a heart. I'm telling you, sin is a killer, killer, killer. It brings death, 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 death. It'll kill your joy and peace and hope. It's a relationship killer. It's a marriage killer. It's a prayer killer. It's a worship killer. It'll kill your hunger for the Word of God. You say, I have no desire for church. It'll kill your desire to church. Amen. Sin brings death. Verse 13. For when the law, until the law, sin was in the world. But sin's not imputed where there is no law. Verse 14. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those that had not sinned in the same particular sin as Adam did. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much by the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man Jesus, hath abounded to many. Sin and death were already here when the law came. I'm just going to briefly explain that. Amen. He said it wasn't the law that caused men to be sinners. They were already sinners. What the law did when it came, it showed man what was killing him and showed him that the death that was killing him was his own fault. That's what the law did. It didn't make men sinners. It just showed men that they were sinners. It revealed what was killing them, the sin. and it revealed that it was their fault. It's like someone smoking for years, and I'm not passing judgment. I'm using this as an illustration. Smoking for years, know something is wrong. They go to the hospital. They run the MRI. The MRI says you've got lung cancer, and the doctor says you've got the kind of lung cancer that comes from smoking. You see, that MRI is like the law. It can come and say you got sin in your heart. It could even say the sin is your fault. It was your choice. It was your desire. But just like the MRI can reveal the problem and not heal it, the law came, showed man his sin, showed him that he was at fault, but the law could not save him. It was just the MRI. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But then when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The law shows me that I'm a sinner. I've got death, and it's my fault. Hallelujah. But Jesus came to say, that's all true, but I've come to take away the sin. I've come to stop the death, and I've come to bring you life. Hallelujah. You're dying. It's your fault, but I'm going to take away the cause and cause you to live like you've never lived. Grace. And then sin brings condemnation and judgment. It's in John. John said Jesus didn't come to condemn anyone. People are condemned not by Jesus. They're condemned because they choose not to accept Him. They're condemned because they prefer darkness over light. And the reason they prefer darkness over light is because their deeds are evil. You know, I always tell when someone's not doing it, I'm already on a rabbit trail. I didn't mean to get here. From John, you can tell from Jesus' words, if a person's not doing right, if they're not doing right, they'll do everything they can to avoid truth and places where truth is told. Amen. He that abideth in darkness hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I'm telling you, the sin brings condemnation and judgment. Verse 16. Not as a free gift, not as it were by one that sinned, so is the gift. For judgment was by one to condemnation. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men. You can read about it in Genesis 3. Even all of humanity was guilty before God. Even we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, it's not just that sin is messy. It's not just that sin brings death. Sin is a crime against God. Amen. Let me give you an illustration. First, from the oil. The oil, when it pumped into the Gulf, not only was that messy and yicky and unpleasant. That was true. Number two, it was death. But number three, somebody broke a regulation, if I understand it correctly. Someone broke some regulations. And when they find out whom, they're going to deal with them with judgment. And the truth is, not only did it kill birds and plant life, but somebody committed a crime. You see, we've missed this. Used to, it was on the other side that we err. Now we err on this. We try to convince people to quit sinning because it's going to destroy their life, destroy their body. And it will. But we have forgotten something because we don't get in these hard scriptures. Sin's not bad just because it'll mess your life up and your marriage and everything. Sin is bad because it's also a crime against God. Amen. His law, His nature, amen, and His person. Let me give you one more example. Drugs. I would tell people, don't do drugs. It'll make your life ugly. Not only that, it will destroy your life. You'll kill brain cells. Most people can't afford to have any killed. Drugs will kill brain cells. It'll destroy your liver. You'll get disease. But let me tell you one other thing about drugs. Not only does it do all that to your body, drugs is a crime. If they catch you, you're going to jail. Sister Brock, it said by sin, judgment and condemnation came upon all men, for all have sinned. We get the same judgment and condemnation as that because we've all sinned. You see, I believe in preaching it that way, and you've heard me already. Sin will destroy you. It'll destroy your home. It'll destroy your future, your dreams, everything about you, young people. But never forget, when you sin, you are also committing crime against God. And there is judgment for that. beyond the destruction to heart and mind and body. Amen. Death was the harm done to us by sin. We've disobeyed God's laws. We're guilty. We're condemned. We're sentenced. That's Paul's whole message in Romans. We're not right with God. We've sinned. Everything is wrong. But then Paul said, the free gift came unto justification. In other words, we were wrong. We stood guilty, condemned, and sentenced, and deserving of God's judgment. But Jesus came, and He made it right with God. And now we're not under the condemnation. There, we'll get to it in Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. Brother Keith, I'm not guilty anymore. I'm not condemned. I'm no longer a condemned man. I no longer have the sentence of hell. Amen. I had all that because I sinned in Adam's. But thank God, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And His grace removed every bit of the condemnation. His grace took care of all of the judgment. And He made me who was not right, He made me right with Him. Hallelujah. And then sin abounds. Verse 20, our text. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Verse 15. Not as the offense, so was a free gift. Look at the end of the verse. The grace, the gift by grace, by one man, Jesus, hath abounded unto many. Verse 17. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace. Man, it's already said, put abundance with grace a lot more than it did sin. Three times I've read to you where Paul talks about abundance. You know, to put it simply, you know what abundance means? It means more than enough. How many could accept that this morning? Abundance means more than enough. And when they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I want you to know, there's over and above grace. Hallelujah. He said sin abounded. That means sin increased and increased until there was an abundance of it. How many would say right now, you would agree with me that sin has abounded in our world, in our society? I'm telling you, TV has come to the lowest possible denominator. It's the glorification of sin everywhere, every avenue, every arena. Sin has abounded. That oil began as a leak, but it has day after day been releasing and pumping millions of gallons out. And every moment we sit in church, there's more oil in the Gulf. It's spreading and spreading. As of last week, it spread so it's larger than Indiana, Ohio, and parts of Kentucky. That's a big blob of oil. Someone says, well, we need to contain it. I've wondered that from the beginning. How do you contain something that's pumping out that fast and spreading that rapidly? How can you contain it? Someone says about sin, we'll just contain it and keep it from spreading. No, that'll never do it. You can't just contain sin. You need something bigger than sin. You need something that can take care of sin. You need something that can get rid of sin. Oh, I know sin is spreading, spreading, spreading. Sin abounds. But the promise of the Lord is, where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Hallelujah. I like it in the Greek. It uses the same word abound, but when it gets to grace, it puts the word hyper in front of it. How many knows what hyper is in medical terms? Hallelujah. It means higher. It means above. Oh, hallelujah. You got hypertension. It's above normal. Amen. Sin abounds, but grace hyper abounds. Oh, hallelujah. Could I say it this morning? Grace is kind of hyper. Amen. It always rises above. It's always taller than sin. There's always more of it than sin.
Oh, I'm glad that grace does abound. Don't leave it out in the world. Take it to your own heart. Amen. Sin abounded. It was in your mind, your heart, your life, your thoughts, your attitudes, your aspiration. But the free gift came, and grace that came was greater than all my sin. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the superabundance of grace. Every time grace confronts sin, grace will win hands down. I said every time grace is allowed to confront sin, grace will win hands down. Glory to God. You may be struggling with sin. Going back to that first illustration, you may feel like sin's got a hold of you. The habits of sin, the problems of sin, the guilt of sin, beating you. But I want you to know, if you'll allow it, grace will step into the ring. And whenever grace is allowed to confront sin, grace is going to win. It'll win in your heart. It'll win in your life. It'll win in your minds. It'll win in the world. Last of all, Paul said sin reigns. Verse 21. There's other verses there, but I'll just read it. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign. Sin reigns. Sin takes control. That oil that is pumped into the Gulf has taken control of the economy and the daily life of everybody in that area. It's shut down businesses. It's changed vacation plans. It's ruined careers. Everything down there, the deciding factor goes back to what the oil's doing. That oil is raining those people's lives down there, and it's going to rain ours too. It'll catch up with us too. We start paying $5 at the pump. And sin's the same way. It's not just messy and ugly. It doesn't just kill. It's not just a crime. But sin reigns. It takes control. I find it interesting. I've noticed this years ago when I talked to a family member that was backslidden. And he looked at me and he said, "Clifford, all my life I've done what parents told me to do and what the church told me to do. But now I'm going to live my own life and do my own thing." And I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me, and I said, "No, you won't." Why is it when someone says they're going to do their own thing, they always go out and do the very thing Satan would want them to do to destroy their life? Have you marveled at that? How many have seen that over and over through the years? "I'm just going to do my own thing." And they're not doing their own thing, because they're doing the very thing Satan wants them to do to destroy. Sin reigns. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And it's an awful taskmaster. We talk about those Egyptians beating folks and killing their babies and making them make bricks without straw. I'm telling you, sin is a worse taskmaster than any Egyptian ever was. Sin reigns. The head of BP, I understand what he's saying. He's suffered a lot of grief over it, over British Petroleum. They asked him if he's doing something about the oil mess. He said, "I sure am." He said, "I'd like to take care of all this and get my life back." Of course, they're letting him have that. Have it, you know. Well, what about the life of the snail and the whatever? And, you know, they got a point. But my point is, that oil situation is taking control of his life. He wants his life back. And sin will take control of your life. But you know, Paul didn't just say sin reigns. He said grace reigns through righteousness. Sin may be ruling and reigning your life, but if you'll beseech God for His grace, when grace comes in, it kicks sin out, and then grace takes over. You still won't do your own thing. You'll do God's thing. And grace will rule and reign in your life. Let me tell you how grace reigns. Sin reigns with heartache and problems and bondage. But grace reigns with peace and life and joy and hope. Do you want to have grace reigning in your heart? It's not just sin. I've seen people go through tremendous difficulty. But grace reigns in their heart. Would you come, music? Hallelujah. So what are we going to do about the oil? I've been kind of out of the loop the last few days. I don't know what they've done. But as far as I'm concerned, What they need to do is close it up, clean it up, and convict the wrongdoer. That's pretty good. I'm not running for office, but that's pretty good. Close it up, clean it up, and convict the wrongdoer. Of course, it seems to me they're getting out of order. They're trying to convict someone for doing wrong when they ought to get it closed up first, then we can worry about it. Well, I'm going to tell you what grace will do with sin. Grace will close it up. That thing has been pumping its defilement and destruction in your life. Grace will close it up. You won't even want to go there anymore. You won't even want to listen to it anymore. You won't even want to have relations with that individual anymore. Grace will close it up. Grace will clean it up. Grace will take away the guilt and the sin and make you feel free because you know you're clean. It'll close up. It'll clean it up. Let me tell you about convict. From the beginning, the big question is, who is going to pay for it? Who should we make pay for it? I won't even get into that. But I'm talking about convicting. That's already been taken care of because the guilt was placed on Christ and the cross. And who's going to pay for it? Jesus has paid for it by His very death. Aren't you glad for grace that can close it up, clean it up? And instead of my being convicted, Jesus paid for my wrongdoing on the cross. If I had a plan right now, and I told the government, the world, give me 24 hours, let me do my thing, I'll take that oil out of that gulf, I'll close that well mouth, I'll have every piece of marsh grass clean, I'll have every turtle egg wiped clean, restored to life, I'll have every business back running, give me 24 hours. I could run for office then. Think of the marvel that would be there. But I want to tell you, Jesus has done more marvelous things with grace. Because where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I've seen people come to this altar marred by sin. Sin imprinted, branded upon their minds. The things they have said and done, the awfulness of their thoughts, the depths of their bondage. But Brother Keith, sin was abounding. But when they got down here, grace stepped into the ring. Hallelujah. And they got up with clean minds, clean thoughts, clean heart, clean desires, clean record. Oh, let's stand and praise God that grace has abounded. Would you worship Him across the building? Hallelujah. Just worship Him across the building. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Grace did much more abound. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, grace, grace, grace that is greater than all my sin, grace that will pardon and cleanse within, grace, grace, grace. Don't let sin in, shut the door against sin and open the door to grace. Open the door to grace. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Listen, I told you, it isn't just sin in that the guilt of wrongdoing, but it's the effects of sin, even of other people in our life. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's suffering. Maybe it's confusion. Maybe it's hurt. And maybe it is sin, the guilt of sin. But if you feel like you just need more grace this morning, I want to tell you what James said. He giveth more grace. If you feel the need for more grace in your life, would you come and begin to pray with Paul? We need grace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I just need more grace in my life. Would you begin to fill these altars and say, oh God, what I'm up against, I need more grace. I need more grace. And I know that where my problem abounds, grace will much more abound. Where my problem abounds, grace will much more abound. Hallelujah.